Think about the last time work was the easiest part of your week because something at home was on fire. That was Karen. Her dad was dying, and that week he got worse, and she came in and kept going anyway, answering her emails and keeping her face straight, trying not to make it anybody's problem. You know how to do that too, we all do, and her people were kind about it, the way good people are. Somebody sent a note. Somebody offered to cover her project, and a couple folks said, take all the time you need. Good people doing the good, normal thing, and you'd want that from your own crew. Then one guy did something else. He wasn't her boss or even her closest work friend, but he got in his car, drove 3 hours to a hospital hallway, and sat down next to her. He didn't say the perfect thing, and he didn't fix one single thing. He barely talked. He just showed up, and it cost him his whole day, and he stayed until she told him to go home. Years later, Karen will tell you straight out that she'd walk through a wall for that guy. The people who sent the notes, well, she's grateful, sure. But the guy who drove 3 hours is in a whole different place in her heart now because he earned a bond. So what you and I are chewing on this whole episode. What actually happened in that hallway? And could you build more of it in your own team on purpose? So here's the idea from the last of our 5 books, and it sounds simple, but it goes deep. A kind thing only means something when it costs the person doing it. Chew on that a second, because cheap niceness is everywhere at work, and you do it too, and I do it too. There's the birthday message, and the great job in the meeting, and the let me know if you need anything you both know is a polite nothing. None of that is bad. It's how we all get through a Tuesday without rubbing each other raw, but it doesn't tell you one true thing about who'll be there when your life cracks open. I'm not knocking it. Cheap stuff is cheap, so it can't prove much, and that's fine. But look at Karen again. Everybody on her team did something, and yet the guy who drove 3 hours, 3 hours he didn't have, into a hallway nobody wants to sit in, doing nothing useful but being there. What he gave you couldn't fake. And that's the whole point, because you can't accidentally drive 3 hours. So when you do it, the person on the other end finds out something real about you, something they couldn't have learned any other way. That's the bond, and that's why it holds when the cheap stuff snaps. Now, work makes this harder than home, and that part matters for you. At home, the people who love you already have a pretty good read on who you are, so the costly thing just proves what they already knew. But you and the people you work with are mostly stuck behind a sheet of glass. You see each other every day, you do good work, you're friendly by the coffee machine, you like each other fine, and still none of you really knows what the others would do if it got hard, because it hasn't gotten hard enough yet to find out. So the bonds you've got with your people are mostly made of regular niceness, and that's plenty for a regular week. Then a rough one hits, a big loss, a project that faceplants, somebody you work with falling apart over something at home, and that regular niceness stretches thin and snaps. So let me say the part nobody says to leaders straight, which is that you can't talk your team into caring about each other deep, and you can't book a trust fall afternoon that makes them care the way that guy cared for Karen. The one thing that works is you doing it first with your own 2 feet, so they see with their own eyes that this is a place where we show up at a real cost. The example is what builds it, never the event. And it's not just Karen. This is bigger than Karen and bigger than you and me. The people who spend their whole lives studying how close bonds actually form, what makes them last through the hard stuff, they keep landing in the same spot. Shared fun is fine and it counts for something, but plenty of people you barely know are fun. So fun alone doesn't sort your real ones from your friendly but shallow ones. What sorts them is the moment somebody gave when it was a pain to give, when leaving was easier and they stayed, when the kind little lie was sitting right there and would have worked fine, and they told you the true thing instead. Those are the costly moments, And the thing is, you don't need a pile of them because sometimes just one does it. One time, somebody showed up at a real cost and you remember it for years, sometimes your whole life. In a way, 100 nice lunches never stuck. And here's the part I love. The part that's really for you. The people who build the deepest bonds are the ones who go first, who make the costly move before they've got any proof the other person will ever match it. So you go first, at your own risk, and when you lead, going first is the whole job, because somebody has to show your people what this place is made of, and that somebody is you. Now let me take your pushback serious, because I can hear it coming, and getting it wrong burns you out worse than you already are. It goes like this. If the whole secret is showing up at a real cost, and you're the leader, are you now supposed to be that guy for a whole team of 20, driving 3 hours every time anybody you manage hits a hard thing? Doesn't that just turn you into the well, pouring into everybody till you're bone dry? Good, ask it. Because honestly, yeah, if you try to be the only one who ever pays the cost, you'll run yourself dry, and that helps nobody. But your worry has one wrong piece baked in, which is that carrying every costly moment yourself was never the goal. Your job is to make the first move, the one or two times that show your people what this place is, and then sit back and watch, because when you show up at a real cost for one person, your people are watching you do it, and they feel something move. And they start doing it for each other, not on your orders, but because you showed them with your own 2 feet that this is just what we do here. You're not the well. You're the first one to put something in the jar. This is the part you'll miss if you blink, because all of us got trained to stare at results and outcomes and what the team cranks out. But look at what you're really doing when you show up at a real cost, because it's so much bigger than it looks from the outside. When you drive 3 hours for one of your people, you don't only build a bond with that one person, you show every single soul on your team what this place is made of. You teach all of them, with no meeting, no training, not one slide, that when somebody here is going through it, we show up, and that lesson lives in their bodies, not in their notes. And here's the wild part, the part that pays you back. Your people start doing it for each other, toward you, sure, but mostly between themselves, the folks who barely knew each other behind that glass before. Once they've watched you cross the glass, they know it can be crossed, and they start crossing it on their own. So what you really did was teach a whole crew of people how to love each other, well, and yeah, I mean love, the plain grandma kind. It's a practice, something you do with your hands and your time, not a warm feeling, giving something real, at a real cost, to another person, not for what you'll get back, but because they need it, and you can. That's the bond that holds your people together, and that's what your team looks like when it actually takes care of its own. So let's put the jar right in the middle of your team and really look at it, because this is where all 5 episodes land. A team where only you give is a well, where you carry the whole center and everybody dips into you, and you either run empty or go numb, and either way, your people never really learn to hold each other. But a team where you made the first costly move and then did it again, once or twice more, just enough that folks caught on, well, that team turns into a jar. It happened because they watched you do it, then they did it too, and pretty soon it was just how things go around here. You want to know what's in that jar? The same stuff that filled Karen's hospital hallway. It's your real time, and the hard truth you told one of your people even though your stomach turned saying it. It's the teammate who stayed late with a new hire who was drowning, way past any job description, because that's what she'd seen happen here. It's the coworker who drove out to sit with somebody, and the week the whole crew quietly covered a project, nobody even asked, when a family emergency hit. Every one of those drops in the jar, and the jar holds. The last book says it plainest. that when the jar is full, your people don't stick around for the pay or the perks or even the work itself. They stay because they've never had this anywhere else. Never had people around them they knew, deep down knew, would show up. So that's the real thing you're building for your people, a place where you all belong. Before we get to this week, let me turn this toward you for a minute, especially if you're quietly the well right now. And you didn't pick that. It happened because nobody ever made the first costly move for you. You can run a team beautifully for years, show up for your people over and over, and still drive home to a house where there's nobody who'd drive 3 hours for you. That's real, and if that's you, let me say it plain. A grandma gives from a full jar, and yours has been pouring out one side for a long time. So when you're running on empty, your heart is fine, the flow's just been going one way, and that can change. Part of leading different is letting your people back in, not all the way, you still got a job to do, but enough that when you have a brutal week, you can say so out loud, enough that you let somebody drop something into your jar for once. Because when you only ever give and never take, you quietly teach your whole team that taking is weakness, and that's a lousy lesson to leave them with. The truer one is that the jar works both ways, so give at a real cost and let your people give right back. So here's your one move this week, and it's the realest thing I've asked you to do in all 5 episodes. Look around your team right now, or the people closest to you at work, and find the one who's quietly going through something hard. The quiet one, holding it together, keeping her face straight. The one, a polite little message, would be the easy answer for. Skip the easy answer and give her something that actually costs you, whether that's your real time or a hard conversation you'd rather wriggle out of, or sitting with her in an uncomfortable minute when you've got 14 other places to be, or just showing up when it's flat out inconvenient. You don't have to fix anything, and you don't have to say the right thing. You just have to show up and not leave. And one more thing, just for you, the one leading. Tell somebody on your team about a hard week you actually lived through, a real one, not the tidy little version, the true one, and let one person drop something into your jar for once. Because after 5 episodes, the whole point is that the jar only works when it flows all the way around your people, you included. So go make one costly move this week, and that's the whole thing. So that's where you and I land after 5 episodes and 5 books, all of it pointing at one thing. Under all the leadership stuff, your real job is to be the kind of person who shows up for your people at a real cost, enough times that they start showing up for each other. A team with those bonds beats a spreadsheet's idea of productive, sure, but it's better than that because it's a place where, when the hard day comes, and the hard day always comes, your people don't face it alone. That's the whole shape of what we've walked through together. You're not building a management system. You're building a jar that everybody fills. And it starts with you, making one costly move, going first, not for what you'll get back, but because that's what somebody who actually leads does. So show up for your people, and they'll learn it straight off of you. And then they'll take care of each other in ways you'll never even see. Watched over, as always, by Daisy. Take good care of your people.